It's time for another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media. Hear about the latest techniques and best practices associated with social media marketing from professionals who are leading the way. Amp Up Your Social Media is sponsored by GaggleAmp. Empower your employees, partners, and resellers to share your social media messages. And by SafeLinks. SafeLinks automatically tells you when links you put into social media go bad, so you can take action. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media. My name is Glenn Gaudette. I'm the president and founder of GaggleAmp. And today I have a special guest host with me, and guest, actually, Jason Nocklin, who is the co-founder and the head of product development for GaggleAmp. Jason, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Glenn. Good morning.
Good morning. And we are doing this actually the day after Thanksgiving, and it's a very special Thanksgiving, I guess, because it's Thanksgiving fell on the first day of Hanukkah this year, or vice versa.
And yes, it did.
But
there's some controversy over when this is going to happen again.
Yes, so I'm confused about that, Jason. So I heard that it was going to be another 70,000 years. And you and I were talking offline here, and you had heard that it's never going to happen again. So I'm really confused about this. I don't know who to believe on all this stuff.
Yeah, I'm kind of lost as well. It looks like the main argument in the it will never happen again side is that we don't actually know if the calendars will have additional days in them in the future to correct for the solar year not actually being a full 365 days.
That is far too complicated for me to be thinking about this morning, I have to say.
Yeah, I know. Still got the turkey food coma over there.
Yes. How was your turkey, by the way?
It was fantastic. We got my favorite dish, which is the sweet potatoes with marshmallows on top.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it's a little family tradition over here in the Nocklin household.
Wow. Congratulations for keeping that tradition. I actually did stuffed artichokes as my contribution.
Oh, those sound awesome.
Yes, they came out really nice. So anyway, but today we want to talk about some things. Since it's you and I today, we get a lot of questions from customers and prospects. And a lot of them deal with kind of general social media. So we thought that this would be a good opportunity for us to share at least our thoughts on some of these questions that pop up. So the first question that I hear quite a bit, Jason, is reach. What is reach? How do you calculate reach within the context of social media? So, I mean, you and I, clearly, we have conversations around all of these issues because, you know, we're developing the product. But reach for us is very specific. So why don't we talk a little bit about that and also talk about, you know, what your thoughts around reach are?
Yeah, I think the really important place to start here is what do you want to know is someone active in social media in terms of reach? It's really how many people are seeing my messages. And because we don't have any kind of unless in some of the advertising context, the social networks will provide this information, but in terms of general users, they don't. We really don't know how many page views we actually get on our social media posts. So reach is essentially, at least in terms of how you and I look at it, you can maybe adjust this a little bit, but I always think of it as just the total number of connections that an account has on social media when it shares a message. Well,
from my point of view, I look at reach as the total potential, not the total actual amount of people who have seen something, but the total potential of people who could see something. And so from that point of view, you know, identifying, you know, what the total friend count is or follower count, again, you know, depending on the platform, tells you the universe of people who could potentially see a given message. And if you go even further now and say, well, how many people actually saw that, it's actually very hard to calculate it, to your point, the platforms don't necessarily tell you that. But
you also, it's also the one other nuance I would throw in there is just the reach number, when you define it as just the total connections that could potentially see it, you're also missing the segment of people who would find your profile otherwise. So you can still have people who are not following you or not connected to you on LinkedIn or not your friend on Facebook who see your message because they come to your profile.
Well, that raises a good point, because as soon as somebody retweets a message, let's say, now the potential amount of reach goes up even further. Not to mention the fact that if you use hashtags on Twitter, there's a lot of people searching hashtags that you don't necessarily know how many people are searching that particular hashtag associated with what you're looking for. So that,
yeah, you can
go ahead.
Yeah, you can look at how many people are sharing on that hashtag as an approximation, but you really don't know how many people are in total following that hashtag. So it's definitely an approximation, and you have to, when you look at a number like reach, you have to keep in mind all of these nuances and other potential avenues for people to get to your message, for people to get to your post beyond just being connected to you directly.
And we've chosen to select reach in terms of the numbers that we put within GaggleAmp, of course, is that first generation, which is the people in your Gaggle who are sharing the message. We are calculating reach based on their friends and followers. Again, we don't include when somebody outside of the Gaggle might retweet that or share that message, which increases the potential reach even more. But the numbers get really large, and what you're looking for really is an approximation of, you know, how many potential people could see it. And we think that this is one of the best ways to approach it. But at the end of the day, what you're really looking for is you're looking for the increased traffic to your website or increased lead flow, whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish with your social media messages.
And I also, you have to keep in mind that a single post is, the behavior of a single post is going to look very differently from your overall content strategy. So while, timing comes into it, for example, so say you post a single post on Monday morning, only some percentage of your followers are going to see that because maybe they're in a different time zone and not awake yet, or they just didn't see that message that day. So when you think of reach, you keep in mind that as you're publishing content over and over again for weeks on end, you're going to capture much more of that audience than you will in just a single post.
Right. And there's different nuances to the different platforms as well. So Twitter is open up to anyone and everyone, except if you go that extra step and protect your Twitter accounts. But there's a very small amount of people that actually do that today compared to the vast majority who keep it wide open. Juxtapose that against a platform like Facebook, and Facebook, it's actually harder to get in on unless you are a member of Facebook and B, connected to that person as a friend, because more and more people, at least on Facebook, are starting to lock down their privacy settings.
If you're a Facebook page, it gets even more complicated because you have all these people who have liked you, and Facebook doesn't necessarily treat a like as a subscribe. So they're going to, even if you have 10,000 people who've liked your pages, they're not going to show all, when you publish a post, they're not going to show all of those people, all of those 10,000 people your post on. And they will tell you how many people actually viewed it. So it's definitely a good number to look at in terms of Facebook. And they have the additional complication of wanting to sell you advertising to help you increase your reach. So by just publishing content, they're gonna do some fancy algorithms to actually decide based on how popular the post is initially if they fan it out to more people or not, and then you also have the ability to do a paid media campaign around that post. So yeah. It gets into definitely some questions of word of mouth versus advertising in that platform.
So. We also get questions around the platforms themselves, and a couple that I've heard lately, Jason, is around Pinterest and what we think the role of Pinterest is going to be, and how do businesses leverage Pinterest. So what are your thoughts on that?
This is Pinterest is a great topic for some Thanksgiving investigation for me, Glenn. So I I floated the question around the dinner table last night, and you definitely still see the trend, which is it's much more of a female demographic. I know my I don't even know the relations anymore. It's a lot of people, but I believe it's my second cousin is a big scrapbooker and also a teacher. And so she's using Pinterest a lot to both interact with her students and interact with the scrapbooking community. And my sister follows her on Pinterest, but she actually has the ability to unfollow specific boards. So she, my cousin's publishing the content for her students. My sister, I guess, was able to unsubscribe from that. So, but the really interesting thing was, and they're using Pinterest. It seems the family's using Pinterest the same way I do, which is a visual search engine. So if you like, I do some cooking. So if I want to make it, like I was looking for a spinach appetizer recently, I just type spinach appetizer into Pinterest, and I get this awesome list of pictures that allow me to see exactly what the appetizers look like, and anything interesting I can click on and go to the recipe. I think that's very powerful from a content discovery point of view.
I agree, especially when you're doing searches that you're actually going to make your selection based on a visual piece of information rather than just text. So, I mean, traditionally, what would you do? You go to Google and you type in spinach appetizer and, you get a lot of text results. Now, yes, you can click over to images, but I think Pinterest provides a much richer environment to do that and to leverage it as a search engine for visual items. So in this case, food, I think, is a great opportunity for that. And I actually hadn't thought of the whole recipe thing, but that makes just a lot of sense to me. I think you've converted me over to test that out.
Well, then when I go, I've found Google Images doesn't capture this the same way that Pinterest does. So I only use Google Images when I need to actually go find an image. So, for piece of content in a blog, or I just want to actually get a picture of something. I've never found that to be a good channel to actually use visual search. So when I do text search for recipes in the past on Google, I'm always the key driver for me in that is what website is the recipe on. So something like All Recipes would pop up as more popular for me than some obscure site where I don't know if they're going to even have the recipe on that site.
So now if you were to translate that to a business owner or a marketing person that's trying to decide whether or not they should be leveraging Pinterest, I think that that's something to keep in mind. If you think about your product and how will people want to find your product, if you have a product that really people will think of it in a way that's visual, then probably Pinterest is a good thing. So I think that lends itself more right now anyway to B2C environments rather than B2B environments. I'm still not sure people are going to look at pictures of routers to search for routers, which
actually, I believe we actually tried that search the other day, Glenn, to see what we would get for some of the keywords that are important to some of our customers. And it's definitely, there's some, the big thing that actually popped up to me on Pinterest that I saw a lot of on the business side was infographics. There wasn't a lot of richer content around use cases or specific product lines. It's still an open question of whether or not that'll be there or if Pinterest will still sit on the consumer side. But I think the tech, at least Pinterest as a technology, in terms of that visual search, would be very powerful for business use cases.
Yeah, no, I see the potential of it. I just don't. Any kind of a rich visual environment, I think, is very powerful, particularly from a search perspective. I think from the B2B perspective, maybe there isn't enough on there yet in terms of activity, in terms of a place where people are thinking to go and find something. So if you do want to buy a router, if you want to buy, something that a business would normally buy, even, think about it, stationery. Are you going to go to a visual search engine to find stationery, or are you just going to go to Google and say, okay, I need stationery, and you know, it's somewhat commoditized, so I just want to get price, right? So I think we have a ways to go on the B2B side with Pinterest, but we'll continue to monitor that. We are running out of time, but there was one other question that continues to pop up, Jason, and that is, since obviously Gagalamp is, we target organizations who want to leverage their employees, their partners, their customers. A lot of people ask us, well, you know, shouldn't employees already be on social media? And the answer is yes. Many of them are all on social media, but they typically are not doing the same things that your marketing or your social media managers are doing, because for your social media manager, social media is, yeah, it's their full-time job. For the rank and file employees, it's not their full-time job. So a lot of them have just a very passing interest in social media. Now, there are also the power users within, you know, employee groups. But for the most part, most people may have a couple of social media accounts, but are not nearly as active as you might think they are. Jason, what have you seen around that?
Well, I think it comes back to the oft-repeated adage, which I have to credit to you, Glenn, which is, you are not your market. So from a social media manager perspective who wants to evangelize social media inside your organization, you have to keep in mind that the other employees and other product groups are going to have a very different perspective and very different behavior around social media than you are as the full-time social media manager. So you want to be able to tailor the essentially the training or the content that you're sending to them or the way you're evangelizing to both their time commitment to social media and their current, I don't want to say skill level, but current participation level in social media. So if a salesperson understands LinkedIn and understands, say, lead generation on LinkedIn, and they know how to connect with prospects and find new prospects on LinkedIn, but they haven't ever done the content publishing piece on any of the social networks, that's a very different use case of social media than a social media marketing manager has experienced.
That's right, and we see that quite a bit, actually, particularly with the sales force. You know, we see upwards of, you know, 90% plus of a sales team would be on LinkedIn, and they're active on LinkedIn every day in terms of doing their own lead gen, but they're not leveraging their own updates. So they're not putting in any updates for themselves, which then shows up on the news feed for all of their contacts. So that's just an opportunity waiting to happen, as long as you make it easy for them. And that's the key thing with any kind of employee engagement, is make it easy. Don't make it a challenge. I mean, we still see a lot of people out there sending the weekly emails out to their employees saying, oh, we did these 20 different tweets. Could you take this and tweet about it yourself? And then it just creates a lot of cutting and pasting, and there's no tracking involved. And at the end of the day, the employee, that's just yet another thing that they have to do that is somewhat tedious, frankly, for them.
And in addition to making it easy, I think another important thing is having that path for the users that do want to become power users, and or anyone who just wants to start doing more on social media, having the training and resources available to them so that they, if they do want to take additional steps and maybe start building their personal brand or promote more of what they're doing in the company, having all the frameworks in place so that they know from what's going to make legal happy, what's going to make the brand police and their company happy, and that all of those resources are available to them in an easy to use way.
Yeah. Absolutely. And just, again, whenever you're engaging your employees, you also have to remember the key thing about engaging your employees with social media. It's their social media accounts. It's not the company's. It's not yours. It's their social media accounts. So you always have to keep that in mind, because they ultimately want to be in control of their own social media accounts. So don't ever try to take that away from them.
And we see a lot of cases where we have where, especially in some of the regulated industries, where the social media managers are told that no one is allowed to share anything about the company. And it just misses the reality that it is their social media accounts and they're doing this already and the company really can't control it.
Correct. But what you can do is you can create a mechanism in which you can feed and foster conversations that have already been prepackaged, meaning these are approved. You can send this tweet out. You can post this to a Facebook or to a LinkedIn, and at that point, it's been pre-approved by whatever regulatory checking they have to go through within the company. Jason, it is the end of our time for this show, but I would hope that you'd be able to come back and we'd do this again as we continue to get some great questions from the people that we interact with. But thanks for coming on the show today.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn. Happy Thanksgiving, and I'll see you back in the office on Monday.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to you and to everyone who's listening, although you will be listening to this probably on Monday, which will be after Thanksgiving. But we hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday weekend. And tune in next time to another episode of Amp Up Your Social Media.